from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, we begin with discussion of the attempt to repeal the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, which requires marriage to be between a man and a woman and bars the inability of same-sex couples to receive some of the benefits of male-female marital unions. Then at 9:30, the president of the American University in Cairo, a Middle East expert, will join us in studio to discuss the ongoing turbulence in Egypt. Forum is next. Join us after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. California Senator Dianne Feinstein is sponsoring a bill which would repeal the 15-year-old DOMA law, the Defense of Marriage Act, which mandates marriages between men and women. Here's Senator Feinstein on her support of that.
The Congress of the United States, when it passed DOMA in 1996, sought essentially to deny rights and benefits provided by the federal government to legally married same-sex couples. This must change. That's what this is all about. However long it takes, we will achieve it.
And President Obama has long called for a repeal of the law. Yesterday, the Senate Judiciary Committee in a hearing on Capitol Hill discussed the proposed repeal bill, which would also give married same-sex couples benefits such as allowing same-sex couples who are married to file joint tax returns and qualify for Social Security. There are presently between 50 to 80,000 same-sex marriages in the nation, roughly 18,000 here in California. And in this first half-hour segment, we take up the debate over the repeal of DOMA and the attempt to advance equal rights in the nation for same-sex couples. We want to go first to New York and welcome Gerald Nadler, congressman from New York, Democrat, United States House of Representatives, also the author and lead sponsor of the Respect for Marriage Act, which would repeal DOMA. Welcome, Congressman Nadler. Good to have you with us.
Good to be here.
Tell us why this is important and where it's headed in the House.
Well, first of all, when DOMA was enacted in 1996, there were no legally married same-sex couples in the country, or as far as I know, in the world. Today, six states and the District of Columbia recognize same-sex marriage and allow the performance of them. And what DOMA does is, for the first time in American history, it regulates what normally the states regulate. States throughout our history have decided who is married, who can get married, what the conditions are. And the federal government, which conditioned various benefits, joint filing of income taxes, inheritance without paying an inheritance tax between spouses. As far as the federal government was concerned, if the state said you were married, you were married. The federal government didn't get into defining marriage. In 1996, as a result of anti-gay bigotry, essentially, Congress passed the Defense of Marriage Act, which was misnamed. It's not defending anything, which said that for purposes of federal law, a marriage is only between a man and a woman, and even if New York or New Jersey or Pennsylvania or any other state says you're married, for purposes of federal law, you're not. So if New York recognizes same-sex marriages, which it will as of Sunday, and you get married in New York, then you'll get the state responsibilities and state benefits of marriage, but not the federal benefits of marriage, and that's simply wrong. There is no defensible reason to deny same-sex marriages, same-sex couples who are married in a state where it's legal to do so, from getting federal benefits.
What about the confusion of going state to state, though? You've got six states that now have same-sex marriage, like you said, but all the others that don't.
Well, this bill essentially won't affect that, because this bill does not tell one state they have to, any state that they have to allow same-sex marriages or not, or that they have to recognize the same-sex marriage of a different state. All it says is that the federal government, for federal purposes, will recognize a marriage. If you got married in New York when it was legal to do so, as far as the federal government will be concerned, under this bill, you will be married.
I mentioned that Senator Feinstein has sponsored this in the Senate. What is the status of it in the House of Representatives now?
Well, the bill was reintroduced. I first introduced it 2 years ago, and I'm glad that Senator Feinstein now has introduced a companion bill in the Senate. We have 119 co-sponsors in the House. We're still looking for our first Republican co-sponsor, but I do think that in the next week or two we'll get a few Republicans. We will ask that hearings be held. Whether the Republicans will actually hold hearings in the House, I don't know. But we will push it, and we'll continue to get more co-sponsors and try to persuade people that this is something we ought to do. And that we ought to do it before the courts do it for us, which is a live possibility.
And can you just give us a quick rundown of what this means in terms of the rights of same-sex married couples? I know unpaid leaves have been denied up until now. That would change, presumably?
Well, all federal benefits that go to married couples are being denied to gay same-sex couples and would no longer be. So, for example, we had a person who was together with her partner for 50-odd years. I think they got married legally in Massachusetts when that was possible. Then the partner died. These are two people in their 80s. The partner died, and she has to now pay a $300,000 inheritance tax for inheriting the other person's property by will, whereas between two spouses, if the federal government recognizes it, there is no inheritance tax. If your wife or husband died and you take the property, there's no inheritance tax. So that's one thing. Obviously, the ability to visit a spouse who's desperately ill in a federal hospital, the ability to file joint income taxes, tax filings, the ability to get Social Security from your spouse if your spouse should die. There are 1,138, I think, or something like that, different things in the federal law dependent on being a spouse.
Just in sum, all of those things that are...
And let me add one other thing.
That are pro forma for married couples, heterosexual married couples, yeah.
Yes, and one other thing, which is a major thing that I have a separate bill on, actually, the United American Families Act. If you're a heterosexual person and you fall in love with a foreigner, a German, an Italian, whatever, and you marry that person, you can sponsor that person for immigration to the United States. Essentially, you don't have to wait, till the normal number comes up, because our immigration policy is based on the idea of reuniting families, of getting families together. If you are gay or lesbian, since the federal government will not recognize a marriage, you cannot do that. If you happen to fall in love with a foreigner, that foreigner may not be able to ever to come to the United States except for a two-week tourist visa, and under the laws of the other country, you may not be able to go there. It holds loving couples apart, which is simply gratuitously cruel for no purpose. That which certainly a recognition of by the federal government of a marriage would change that.
Congressman Gerald Nadler, again, is a Democrat from New York, United States House of Representatives, author and lead sponsor of the Respect for Marriage Act, which would repeal DOMA. Congressman, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
You're quite welcome.
Also with us this morning is Bill May. He's chairman of the Catholics for the Common Good. They are opposed to the repeal of DOMA, and we welcome you to the program, Bill May. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good to be with you, Michael.
And we also have Kate Kendall with us here in studio, executive director of the National Center for Lesbian Rights, who is in favor of the repeal of DOMA. Welcome, Kate Kendall.
Very good to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Bill May, let me go to you. You heard Congressman Nadler just from the perspective of state law always mandating where marriage is concerned. I mean, certainly divorces and adoptions and inheritance, all of those things have traditionally come under state law. Why keep a federal law in place of this sort?
Well, to reduce marriage to just simply a package of benefits demonstrates how shallow the understanding of what marriage really is. Marriage is an institution that unites a man and woman with each other and any children born from the union. It's the only institution that does that. And really the government is saying, in fact, it's a stated policy of the Obama administration, that the government has no interest in uniting a man and a woman with each other and any children born from their union. What's happening here is not creating a new entity called same-sex marriage, but redefining the reality of marriage to simply a public recognition of a committed relationship between adults for their private interest, for benefits. And that's just a response to a very, very powerful public interest and ignores the common interest that every child has in the marriage of his or her mother and father.
Well, if it's just benefits, it's also benefits that affect real people in a very profound way. I'm sure you would concede. You know, you've got people who have been together, for example, for decades, and suddenly they don't have the benefits that are accorded to other couples who've been together for that period.
Well, everybody has benefits that affect them in a personal way. And some benefits, some people qualify for benefits and other people don't qualify for benefits. Really, this isn't about benefits. This is about the institution that unites a man and a woman with each other and any children born from their union. You know, it's do we stand with the powerful interests that want to redefine that to just the private interest for adults, or to the common interest that every children have in that institution?
Okay, Kendall, what about this argument that it's an attempt to redefine marriage, change the institution that traditionally has been, well, heterosexual?
There's nothing about expanding equality and fairness and justice to include people who have been traditionally excluded that works a redefinition to that institution. It is about making this country more fair, more just, more egalitarian, according same-sex relationships, the same dignity, the same security that we do every other married couple. It's an expansion of a greater ideal that we include more people to be covered by the protections and the security and the dignity and the nomenclature and the common humanity that comes with couples who are married by according those same, that same recognition. And it's, I would agree with Bill on one point. It is about much more than benefits. We are talking about a system and an understanding and an institution that everyone has deep feelings for and experience with. Marriage, when people choose to make that decision, is not about benefits. No one thinks about it being about benefits or they're going to get this thing or that thing. It is about love and commitment and shared sacrifice. And what I appreciate seeing in the whole discourse around marriage and the rights of same-sex couples is that we are finally understanding as a country, and the polls show this month after month and year after year, that the American public is understanding that we are three-dimensional as lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. We're not just in the streets marching. We're not just on talk shows advocating for our rights. We have the same yearning for love and joy and commitment and dignity in our relationships as anyone else. And to have us alone denied the rights that are accorded to couples who marry is unconscionable in a country that says a constitution protects everyone.
Well, we'll hear what Bill May has to say, but in the meantime, I want to give out the phone number and invite those of you listening to join us. We're talking about the Defense of Marriage Act repeal. And if you have strong feelings one way or another, you may indeed want to join us and let us know what you think, or you certainly can address a question either to Bill May or Kate Kendall. Our toll-free number is available to you. It's 866-733-6786, and that'll work whether you're listening on radio, internet, or Sirius satellite. Again, we invite your calls. This is a segment that will end at 9:30, so if you have something you'd like to contribute or if you'd like to join the conversation, the time to call would be now. It's 866-733-6786. You can also, of course, join us by email, forum@kqed.org, or post your questions or comments on our website simply by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on the segment. And Bill May, as a good Catholic, what do you think when you hear this is really about justice and love and things of that sort? It doesn't sound like rhetoric. It sounds like authentic, sincere sentiments.
Well, of course it's authentic and sincere sentiment. Everybody is made for love. I mean, we crave it. We need it. Everybody can love, and it's not about that. While everybody's made for love, not everybody is made for marriage that unites a man and a woman with each other and any children born from the union. And it's not true to say that this isn't redefining marriage. All Kate has to do is go to Judge Walker's decision that overturned Prop 8 in California that shows that he created a whole new definition of marriage and defined it as a private interest for the benefit of adults in order to come to his conclusion. That's not what marriage is. Marriage unites a man and a woman with each other and any children born from the union. There's a keen public interest in that, and it coincides with the interest of every child without exception.
Well, Kate Kendall, from a legal standpoint, Judge Rehnquist said that these kinds of questions where marriage is concerned have traditionally, since time immemorial, been left to the state, and this too should be left to the state. It's sort of like Mitt Romney saying health care is okay in Massachusetts, but I don't want it to be federal, isn't it?
Well, that clearly is one of the central issues why DOMA is inconsistent with our traditions as a nation, and I think Representative Nadler made that point. And let's be clear, when we're talking about DOMA, I mean, certainly my view and perspective is that there is nothing about including same-sex couples in the marriage fold and extending those same rights, benefits, security, dignity to same-sex couples in any way works a redefinition or prevents heterosexual couples from marrying and having their families bound together, according to Bill's point. But with DOMA, we're not even talking really about marriage. What we're talking about with the Defense of Marriage Act is that couples are married. These are couples that states have married. Based on their policies, these are couples who are married just like their neighbors, just like their coworkers. And it is the federal government who is picking and choosing among all those married couples and saying only, it is the same-sex couples only who we will deny our safety net of benefits and recognition to. So the federal government has chosen to accord benefits and really very serious protections, mostly in time of crisis, to married couples. And they are withholding that recognition only from same-sex couples. So this is really a quintessential denial of the most important principle in our Constitution, and that is there will be equal protection of the laws. The laws will be blind when it comes to a certain status. If you fulfill that status, for example, you're married, the government will recognize that. And DOMA, among rare among laws, denies that.
Well, let's recognize what our listeners have to say here and bring them into the discussion. And let's begin, Jay, with you. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Hi, I just wanted to say really briefly, I am in a same-sex marriage, and I just find it really ridiculous when the leaders of the churches, with all due respect to your Catholic guests, say that it's special interest leading the charge to redefine marriage. And it would be so simple if the religious leaders would just recognize marriage for their own purposes in their own religious institutions, completely separate from civil government. This is a civil right. It is absolutely a separate issue. And if they would just stick within their own churches and only do what they want in their own churches and let equal rights be, move forward under the Constitution like they should, it would just be so much easier. We deserve these rights, and I don't ask to be married in the Catholic Church, and I don't, I think the Catholic Church shouldn't get in the way of me exercising and having full access to the rights my partner and I deserve.
Let me go to you, Bill May, on this. What do you say to that argument that we really need to keep church and state separate here, that civil rights is what we're talking about, and as Kate Kendall said, equal protection under the law?
Well, I agree with that, and just because I happen to be Catholic, associated with my name, doesn't mean I'm making a religious argument. I haven't done that. Marriage that unites a man and woman with each other, and any children born from their union, is a reality. That's a reality. That's why marriage has been recognized by every culture and every religion. It's the same reality recognized by civil society as recognized by religion. This is not a religious issue, although some people present it that way. And so I think we just need to be focused on that, not turn it into a religious issue, and not turn it into a homosexual issue. It's about the public interest in what the institution is.
Let me bring on a caller who's joining us from Flagstaff, Arizona. Britta, you're on. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to make the point that I am a young heterosexual woman. I'm about to give birth to my first child in a couple of months.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I would love to know what it's like to have that child grow up in a society that values humanity and love as possibly the greatest human ideal and is not discriminating against any group, whether it's racial, sexual orientation, religious. I think that would bring us to a society that is much stronger, more humane for everybody. And I also think that for those of us that have whatever spiritual beliefs we had, that is really a deeper form of spirituality, and I would love to see the country engage in that kind of values system.
Hey, thank you for your comments. Appreciate hearing from you. Good luck with the birth of your child. And we'll go to Dan, who's joining us from Palo Alto. Dan, you're on.
Yes, hi. I was just wondering how your Catholic guests would respond to the fact that many same-sex couples are adopting children. And he keeps talking about the public interest and how it's in public interest to recognize marriage and the children of marriage from heterosexual couples. Many studies are showing that children in the same-sex households do just as well as children in heterosexual households. So it seems to me that it is definitely in the public interest for the government to recognize same-sex couples. Thanks.
Okay, thank you for the question. Bill May, to you.
That's a great question and a source of confusion for a lot of different people. Adoption and marriage are two separate things. You know, marriage unites a man and a woman with each other and any children born from the union. Married people do adopt children, but people who aren't married adopt children as well. You know, in a family with adopted children, the children don't have their mother and father. And other people stand in and represent them and assume the responsibilities that they weren't able to discharge. So we're talking, when we start talking about adoption, we're talking about something completely different from marriage.
Let me go back to Kate Kendall. I know you wanted to weigh in here, but I just also wanted to ask you about this argument that went off in here, is that children thrive better in a traditional home. In fact, some data was offered up on the Hill, and Senator Al Franken, as I'm sure you may well be aware, disputed the data because it didn't include the whole picture of just couples living together and so forth, or whether they were same-sex couples and so forth. So let's take on that argument just for a moment from your perspective. What do we know? What do we not know?
I mean, two key points. The social science data is truly overwhelming. I mean, it is a mountain of data, and the data on that disputes it has been discredited by psychological associations and pediatric associations. It is an overwhelming fact now that children raised in heterosexual households have no different or better outcomes than children raised by same-sex parents. What impacts children's outcome is economic opportunity, poverty, if the home is dysfunctional, if the home is rife with alcohol abuse or substance abuse. I would never say that every LGBT person would be a fabulous parent or is a fabulous parent, nor would anyone say heterosexual people uniformly are good parents. The issue is, if you are a functional, committed parent, sacrificing for your children, committed to your children's success, and doing everything you can to provide them opportunities for joy and success in their life, they will be successful and happy regardless of your sexual orientation. And that's almost at this point truly beyond dispute, except folks who, you know, file discredited studies or continue to make this argument without looking at the data. But to the point that Bill May is making, and he makes this again and again, and, you know, it is just a fallacy to suggest that there is anything about extending the right to marry to same-sex couples that implicates or undermines heterosexual marriages. I actually have, I think, more faith in heterosexuals to continue to marry, to provide for their children, and to have strong unions than it sounds like Bill May has. Because if simply the idea of extending full equality and rights to same-sex couples who want to make that commitment would so threaten heterosexuals from continuing to come together and support their relationships and their families, then we've got a much bigger problem than the idea of gay people marrying.
We're going to have to leave it there. I want to thank Kate Kendall, Executive Director of the National Center for Lesbian Rights. Thanks to Bill May, Chairman of the Catholics for the Common Good. And thanks to Congressman Jerry Nadler, who also joined us. We're going to go to a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to the new American University in Cairo president, Lisa Anderson, who will be joining us here in studio. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.